that. Okay, so I was on the way here. I was listening to a shiur from Moshe Eisman, and he said somebody asked him the question, how do we know that Hashem wants us to trust our logic? And I was thinking, oh, we just saw that in Rav Hirsch. And he often will quote Rav Hirsch. He's himself from Germany. So, but he didn't. It was from this parsha, from Vayakel. He was saying that it's Vayakel, that who came to Don. I said I didn't look in the pasuk, Asher Yigba Libo. And if you look at the Mepharshim there, meaning somebody who felt inside, they didn't have the training to be artisans for the most part. They did very rough kind of labor in Mitzrayim. But whoever could feel inside of him that, oh, I could do that, or I would be good at that, right? Or I'm good with my hands. I could contribute that. They just showed up and understood that they're supposed to. And from there, he was thinking that you're supposed to trust on the inside. He quoted a Cholos HaLevavos on how a person should know which parnasa to do. And one of the factors, there are a few different factors, and the third factor was that he just feels that he would enjoy it. He feels drawn to it. Everyone's drawn to different types of things. And what was another example? A Beis Din, or going for an Eitzah, or how would you be able to assume that you could use logic for anything if it wasn't for the fact that the Torah really told us over here, like in Bereishis, well, Hashem's bringing you things, and now you have to use your insight and understanding now to discover what's true to the extent you're able, and then act based on that. It was so interesting that he opened with that question. I was like, oh, we were just talking about that. Okay, but what we were just talking about was Purim, right? So this is another thing. I went home last week and thinking about this, that Hashem knits human deeds and their issues with his wise design, right? And the idea of we talked about the deeds and the issues. Those are one, the deeds is the part we have bechira and some sort of control over. That's the chutz mir shemayim, right? And the issues is the hakol bidei shemayim, is all the circumstances that Hashem sets up in order to move us and form us and shape us and into a certain path. But I was wondering about the knitting. And all of a sudden I realized, because what do you do when you knit? It's not weaving a tapestry. That's the classic mashal, right? Isn't the classic metaphor? A tapestry, maybe you see it from the back, you can't tell. Okay. He didn't say that. He said knit. And also I realized, when you knit, it's one string. It's very complicated if you follow that one string. It's like going up and down and back and forth. It's three dimensions, going all different directions. But it's headed somewhere. It's forming something. And it's one Eitzah. It's one thing. It's just very complex. So we can't, if you're just seeing this one string, you would never understand. It's going this way, it's going that way, it's going that way. Right? Don't you think that's it? That's knitting. I'm trying to say, why knitting? Of all, out of nowhere, right? I think that's why knitting. Because it's all Hashem, Kino, Hashem, Echad. We just don't understand. But it's all, that was the whole point we're talking about, is that Hashem will not have his will be thwarted. Right? A person could have free will and could go in a certain direction, but ultimately Hashem's will is what will be. Atzas Hashem hi sakum. There is no other way. And you may make it harder on yourself, but Hashem's will is going to be done, which is in fact what Mordechai said to Esther. Revach v'hatzala yamod la Yehudi mimakom acher ve'atu beis avich tovedu. You could destroy yourself in the next world. That's really the Ivadon is in the next world, but it's not going to mess up Hashem's plan. Hashem, he'll sort it out. I love that about the string. Okay, so we started by looking at this Maharal. We started with the one of Yesh Mekashin. I have a few pages of it left. I assume some people still have theirs. That's why we don't have so many. Okay, so the question was, and I'm just going to repeat it because last time it was in the middle, so this way we'll make it a little more whole. Some people ask, he says, this isn't really the question, but people ask, what's the matter with Esther? Was she unwilling? Maybe she didn't have enough Mesiris Nefesh, as if everyone could. But shouldn't she have had more Mesiris Nefesh? Is that why Mordechai had to push her to go to Ahasuerus right away? Was it because she was wimpy or scared or a little scared for herself that she was hesitant to go? And he said, no, that's not the point. It's pretty obvious on a logical level, if you didn't know what Mordechai knew, that the intelligent thing is to wait. Of course, it wasn't a lack of Mesiras Nefesh, but you're not supposed to throw your life away, right? She'll wait, and Achashverosh will call her, and then she'll go. You don't take the worst possible time when who knows why you weren't called, right? But whatever it is, you're not wanted, especially, and wait until a time when you are wanted, and then ask, and there's plenty of time for it. And the answer that he gave, which is very cryptic, it's just basically, from our point of view, it's the, like, koteret, it's like the title. Okay, the title of it is this 2-3 little paragraphs here of the answer, and then we have to understand what's the details, what's the breakdown of what he said. He said the reason is because the reason that Mordechai had to push Esther, who he loved and cared about, to take extra risks and go into Achashverosh, even though she wasn't wanted or called for. I was in the, I told you last week, right, in the play that that Elisheva was in, right? They said, I have a wife who won't come when she is called, and now I have a wife who comes when she isn't called, right? Like, why did he push her? Because Mordechai knew that they had to act right now, and it's not so clear, so why? And that somehow that is connected with the fact that everything that happened on Purim really was something that was reversing itself against Haman. Remember that? That was what he said the answer was. And if you don't remember, that's okay, because we're going to talk about it now. And also because since it doesn't feel like a very full answer just as it stands over here. Now that makes sense, because Maharal often talks about the same thing in many different places, even within the same Sefer. But each time he adds a little bit different of a slant. So it's sort of like if you have the whole picture, then you would know the whole thing, but he doesn't answer the whole thing in each place it comes up. Because again, remember, Rav Hirsch often takes the angle of the Maharal. So what do they have in common? It's like systematic. When you see one thing in one place, it's the same principle will function wherever that principle is evoked. So you can't explain like the whole Torah on every word. So what you do is you explain a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, and over time you then develop a whole picture. Okay, so now we're going to start looking at some of the details. So I circled, so let me take a look at this. What I did is I circled some of the footnotes, and the way that this volume, this edition of the Maharal works is it's Rabbi Hartman, Rabbi Yehoshua Hartman. So on top is the text of the Maharal, and then there's hundreds and hundreds of footnotes. Every phrase or two, there's a number. The numbers correspond to the footnotes below. And in the footnotes, sometimes he explains the Maharal. Very often, he brings other places where the Maharal talked about this topic. Because by bringing them into one place, you can understand it more fully. So it's really, really useful. So we could jump around, but Rabbi Hartman, first of all, I wouldn't have known where to jump around without Rabbi Hartman, but also he brings it together beautifully. And explains the ideas. Okay, so let's look. Hang on, let me check my notes. Okay, I actually made an order to this. Just want to make sure I don't jump. Let me just think what order we're doing this. No, I'm going to move first. I said to go to the Lithlo, so I'm going to trust the order because I spent some time working that out. Okay, so that's on this handout. This is later, also the Maharal in Or Chadash, which is his Perush on Megillas Esther. Okay, so this is in Perek Vav. Okay, so over here, this is on the Pasuk Vayomer HaMelech Mi Bechotzer. The king could not sleep, and he said to read to him from the Sefer Divrei HaYomim of the Melech, and he found out that Mordechai, nothing had been done for Mordechai, and he says, Mi Bechotzer, who's in the courtyard? The Haman ba lechatzar beis HaMelech HaChitzona. Haman had come to the exterior, the outer courtyard of the king's palace, Lemor LaMelech, in order to speak to the king, Lislos es Mordechai, to hang Mordechai al Ha'etz on the tree, Asher Heichimel. You may not have the whole thing, it's a couple pages later. That's why, remember, I had brought a copy of the Megillah in small, was because that's one thing about this Sefer of the Maharal. It's amazing that he included the Megillah in it, but you can't, like, use it to, like, follow along with the Megillah, because you never know how many pages to turn. Okay. Okay. To hang Mordechai on the tree which he had prepared for him. Ba'medrash. And the Medrash teaches in Esther Rabbah, Asher Heichin Le'atzmo. Ooh. Okay. So what did Chazal say? They say, it could have said, Lislo says Mordechai al hoitz. Why do you have to say, Asher Heichin Lo, that he prepared for him? Because the him isn't Mordechai, the him is Haman. Okay. So now the Maharal says, wait, now let's think about that more deeply. What is it Chazal are telling us? Yireh, ki digdukto, the hevele lichtov asher osa. It seems that Chazal are being particular. He's a different point, not the point I said. I apologize. Not that you could have just left it off, but you could have said al ha'etz asher osa, that he made. And instead it says that he prepared. Okay, so we've referred to this before. I never gave you a handout on it. We never, like, spent time on it, and we're not going to spend too much time on it now. But in short, you know from Avos that the world was created with 10 amiros. Whatever that means, yeah? There are phases of creation. First, there's what's known as Hashem's will. There's the amira, the speech that creates that's the bria. Like, now it could exist. Before, it didn't exist. Hashem says it does exist. Ki hu amar vayehi. He says it is. Okay? Hashem speaks, it is. But that's not over then. Okay? So to see that concept, it isn't over in the amira. Because then there's the matter is created. So in the Amira, the spiritual reality that's necessary for the physical thing to exist becomes created, but then the physical reality has to exist for it. And after that, the physical reality has to be set. Sort of like if you have clay and then it hardens. That would be the mashal, okay? Kachomer b'yad hayotzer is that you have the clay, but then you could always just reshape it. So on the one hand, you've given it the shape, and on the other hand, it isn't permanent. It isn't finalized. Okay. So that's where he's headed now, the Maharal, in explaining this Chazal, that the Chazal's diuk is that the Pasuk said that Haman prepared the tree for Mordechai, not that Haman asah, did it. Okay. So as an example, to kind of give us the feeling of this, I brought the Ramban. That's source number one on this source sheet of Anah Fochu. Vayar Elokim Zambrachus Perek Aleph Pasuk Dalet Vayar Elokim Es Haor Ki Tov. Hashem saw that the light, and it was good, that it was good. Kosav Rabbeinu Shlomo. That's Rashi. Okay, and we're not going to break down the Rashi in this case, because Ramban's going to disagree with it. Also for this, in order to understand it, we can't use the pshat, we need the agada. Rashi says, Hashem saw that the light was not suitable for Rishaim, and that there would be Rishaim, right? We've talked about that the world already from the beginning, before people came around, and before there was the chet of Gan Eden, there was already within the world, it was created the tshuva as a possibility, which means chet was already a possibility. So Hashem separated this light for the tzaddikim, for asid lavo. He put it away. He saw that it was good, and it wasn't appropriate for such perfectly good light and the choshech to be mixed together. The kavala zet chumo biyom velazet chumo balayla veRabbi Avraham Amar, that would be the Ibn Ezra. Vayar kamove ra'isi ani, and I have seen it. And he saw it, and I have seen it. The machsheva salef, meaning something that was thought, not necessarily seen. Okay. Betam vayavdo b'kriyas Hashem. Okay. Ve'ein divrei shneim nechonim. This is the point we're getting to. Okay. I'm not taking sides personally between Rashi, Ibn Ezra, and the Ramban, but let's see what the Ramban wants to say as best as we can. She'im kein. Let's just understand the problem. Yira ke'inyon hamlocha ve'etza chadosha. If we understand that Rashi, the way it sounds like we could understand the Rashi, then you would translate it, you could be led to translate the verse like this. Vayar Elokim es ha'or. First, Hashem didn't see the light. Why? Because he hadn't created it yet. Then, he created the light. Then, he saw the light, ki tov, and it was good. And therefore, he put it away in the future or separated it from the dark. He said, that's a very big problem. Eitz HaChadasha? Like, this is a new discovery over here. Sheyomar ki acharei she'amar Elokim yehi or, v'haya or, ra'a oso ki tovhu, v'lachin hivdil b'ino v'ina chosha ki'inyan, be'adam shelo yada tivo shel davar ad heyoso. Like a person who doesn't know the nature of something until it exists. So, your sister gives you a recipe. She says, make it. It's delicious. You have no idea what this is going to come out to be. You make it. You bake it. The timer rings. You open the oven. And you see it. And behold, it is good. Okay? Because you didn't know. I mean, you trusted her that it was good. Because it's your sister. But it's different, right? When you've seen it, we talked about das. Das is knowledge through experience. It's different. He says, this is a problem. You can't say that about Hashem. Like, he didn't really know how good the light would be, right? Like, we won't say Hasid Lahavdo, but that sounds like really strange, because then Vayavdo, like, Avav. Haseder b'maise b'reishis. He's going to give us a different way of understanding this. Ki hotzas hadvarim el hapoel yikare amira. When the Torah says in Maaseh Bereishis that Hashem Amira Vayomer said something, Hashem's not a person, right? Doesn't have a goof. So it's not like, right? It's not the same. It's that we have to understand from what we know about speech and talking, we're supposed to learn something about what Hashem did. Hotzas hadvarim el hapoal is called Amira. Hotzas dvarim el hapoal means making things from the potential into the real. Poal means they're activated. How do I understand that from speaking? In speech, right, and we actually talked about this, speech is inside your mind, right? We talked about it with the falsehood, remember, with the sheker. What does speech let you do? Transfer thoughts from one brain to another, right? But there's something else that happens when you speak. So think about a phrase. Okay? Think of that phrase, I really like you. You just think it in your head. There's a reality to the fact that you're thinking it. That's real. And in fact, it would change your behavior. It would change like the dozens of muscles in your face. And the other person, right, your sibling or your friend, like, they'll feel that something's different. That's kamayim haponim haponim, kamayim va'adam adam. But what if you actually let the words out of your mouth? Now they've gone from a state of pure machshava, which is really, really on the very far edges of that which is physical. It's barely physical. Into something that's physical. You've made sound waves out of it. Like they have an effect. They have an emotional effect, of course. The person could hear them. They have an effect. You could put like a piece of latex or something stretched out. It would have bzzz, right? Like it. So speech then is the very smallest physical act. This is true halachically also, very often. Something is thought, it might not have halachic consequences. Whereas if it's spoken, it might. Because speech is the tiny, so that is the beginning of that which is physical. So hotzas hadvarim el hapoal, taking them from pure potential, that's the stage that we're talking about, the will, into actually it started to be created into the physical world, is called speech in Maaseh Bereishis. Vayomer Elokim yehi or, that's the beginning of the actual reality of light. But remember we said, well, light is like maybe the worst example, but that's the one we're learning from over here, that there are things are created, first the spiritual reality, that would be, I suppose, the potential, and then you have the physical reality, and then you have that it's like gelled or hardened into that physical form and shape, and this process of the creation. Vayomer Elokim yihi or, vayomer yihi rakia, vayomer tad she haaretz. The kiyumam means making them lasting. Now they're going to stay that way. That's sort of the firm, final shape, yikari re'iyo. When the Torah says that Hashem sees it, isn't that wise? Also, Hashem's not bound by time. Hashem could see that light just as well before he created it as after he created it. Okay. So what the Torah is telling us is that now it is in the kiyum form. It reached it already. Vayar Elokim es haor. Hashem seeing it is the way the Torah tells us this thing is kitov. Here below. Vayar Elokim kitov shiratza bekiyumo lo'ad. That this form, that the creation, that the thing created got to, is the form that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to remain in for all of physical eternity. It reached it. Okay. So what does that tell us? I encourage you to read the whole thing. It's really very amazing, helpful understanding over here. I mean, I'm sure it has like Kabbalistic understanding also, but just for us in reading Chumash, it's very helpful to understand that the things were created in a process. And they gelled. Some things did not fully. We know that. Look at the water by itself, right? You have the oceans, and then the oceans are going to get separated, and some of it's going to be above, and some of the water is going to be below, and at some point they have to be held back, so it'll be lower, and then the land could rise up. It wasn't all in the first act of Vayomer, right? Hashem created any form, and some things take a lot longer, like people. Hey, we're still at it. We're still working to get to, right, the state of Sharatza B'Kiyum Ola'ad, that we've reached the perfection that he would like us to have reached in being created. And we're working on it. We're working very hard. Okay, that's why the Ramban says also the days of Bereshis correspond to the thousands of years.
It's so interesting.
Yeah, because we're still working on it. We're trying. And human beings aren't finished being created till the end of the sixth day. We're working on it. We're getting there. It's a process. It's a process. Some things are finished, some things are not finished, and that's how we're created. Okay. So this is something we have to know. Why do we have to know that? I'll see if I know, because otherwise you're just gonna have to guess. Okay. No, I just want to go in the order because I did work to find the order because it wasn't so pushy. Okay. So now let's come back to the Chazal. What was Maharal's issue? Oh, what did Maharal, is that the one? And this one, right? Okay. What did Maharal say that Chazal were commenting on? They were saying, why does it say that he was mechin, prepared the tree, not asa, made the tree? So now that we just read that Ramban, you could kind of hear that there's a subtle difference. That's where the Maharal is going to go with this. Because preparing something is not the same as having finished it. So this now is a key moment over here. This is between the first Suda, the first Mishta with Esther, and the second one. The king can't sleep. He says, Mi bechatzer, and Haman is there, because he wants to talk about the Eitz Asher Hechimo. So he says, it seems that the dikduk of Chazal is that it said Asher Asa, Ela Lashon Hachana, but the term, like the terminology of Hachana, preparation, Shayach Af Shelo Haya Mechavein Lazeh. If you said he made it for Mordechai, it would mean it was completely formed for the purpose of hanging Mordechai. And what Chazal is saying is, no, that tree was never going to hang Mordechai. Okay? The fact that he prepared it, hechin, that's like the Lashon Kavana. His intention was to hang Mordechai on it. But it wasn't going to actually be that way. Sof sof, hu muchan lo. In the end, really, ultimately, that tree was built for himself. Val yado hu muchan. And who created it? Who prepared that tree? Haman did. And who's it hanging? Haman. And you should know from the beginning, it was aimed at Haman. Avalashon asa, a term made it, lo shayach rak kasher mechavei lasos, that would only apply if what it became was the thing that he meant it to be. So that is the asiya that Hashem, vayar Elohim es kol asher asa v'hinei tov me'od, Hashem sees at the end of the whole process of creation everything he made, because what he made is what he meant it to be. Okay, but that's not true over here with Haman. When you have affected the creation, that you've made something the way you meant to make it. Preparation, the hachana is accurate, because the pasuk is going to be accurate, even though that wasn't what Haman had in mind. But in the end, it's through his own deeds that that tree was prepared. It could have said the tree he prepared, but it said the tree he prepared for him. He says it could be that that's also a diuk that Chazal are making, that it, when they say he prepared it la'atzmo, for himself. So all of this is coming to tell us this is the whole point of Haman. Everything that there is about Haman is this idea. Ki kol ma shechishav lasos leMordechai. Everything he plotted to do to Mordechai ne'apach al atzmo, reversed itself onto him. V'lo tomar ki lo nahapoch al Haman rak achar shebikshu litlos es Haman umatzu ha'etz. And you should not think, Chazal do not want you to make the mistake of thinking that it didn't reverse onto Haman until after the moment where, I guess, they asked that they should hang, I guess like Harvona said, hang him on the tree. V'zeh eino, because that's wrong. Rak mitchila, you should know that from the beginning, hayamuchan lios ne'apach alav, it was ready to be reversed upon him. V'davar zeh, megale al inyon haneshenaseh. This issue, this point, helps to reveal, megale, you know, it's called Megilas Esther. Well, this is just a scroll, it means the revelation. Esther means what? What's hidden? Megillas Esther is revealing what's hidden. That's what it's for. Okay? Because if you only followed the newspapers from the time of Shushan, some of these things are so many years apart, you'd never even catch the thread. Megillas Esther is here to reveal to you what really happened. Okay? So, Davar Zeh Megale, Al Inyon Haneh Shenasa, Ki HaKol Hayadeh Pachalav. Everything about this Megillah is about everything that Haman did reversing on himself. Ki kasher chishav la'abed es Yisrael, when he calculated to destroy Klal Yisrael, asher kiyum shelahem, hu bo yisbarach atzmo, whose kiyum is dependent on Hashem alone. Okay, we will, Emetz Hashem, come back to that. Vi'i efshar la'abed osam, therefore they are indestructible. Not because we have great merit that you can't destroy us. If we had such great merit, we wouldn't have been in this pickle and had to have tshuva. Okay? But the moment Haman had a thought that he will destroy Klal Yisrael, he was doomed. Because Hashem isn't going to destroy Klal Yisrael. And our whole kiyum is totally dependent on him. And his name is within us. Yisrael contains Hashem's name. So trying to destroy something infinite, it's like setting off a nuclear bomb, but it's like in your own little box. You're goner. You're not going to hurt anybody except yourself. That's why it all rebounded onto him. The force has to go somewhere. We will. Don't worry, we'll talk about this more. Sorry? What did you say?
Conservation.
That's really, you could think about conservation of mass energy as a way of helping you understand this 100%. V'dome lemi. What? Listen, it's exactly. Dome lemi. Comparable. To one shehu zorek bekoch gadol evan al kir barzel, a person who throws a heavy stone very hard against an iron wall, a metal wall, lahapila sakir, strong enough he's going to break down the whole wall. Also evan nepachal zorek. Where's that stone end up? On him. It doesn't go nowhere, right? It hits the wall, and then what? The wall's not going to break down. So what's going to happen to the stone? It comes back, and it hits him. Okay, someone throws kiviyachol a stone towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hits himself. V'chein, Don't worry, this is a very big topic. Kasher Haman hayarotze la'abed v'lachalos es Mordechai v'amo. When Haman wanted to destroy entirely and wipe out Mordechai and his people, Asher Yisrael yeshlahem hachozek hagadol min Hashem Yisbarach, the Klal Yisrael have, their existence is a function of the tremendous strength from Hashem Yisbarach himself. Chenepach hakol alav. Everything reversed onto him. Okay, so now we're going to start explaining it. Let's go back a page to footnote 98. I've made a little arrow on the right. I don't know if that helps. It's page tuf kuf pei vav. If that helps. Do you see a little arrow? And yeah. Then there's like a 98. Ki kol inyan hamagilah hazos, hu besiman shel v'nafochu. You have to know the whole idea of the Megillah. Different place. The Maharal talks about 14 different introductions to Megillah. So there's more than one way to understand the whole Megillah. This is an important one. Is this idea, this siman of nafochu, everything reversed. Umasha Haman chishav lasos ne'apach alav l'ra. What Haman calculated to do reversed upon him for the bad. K'mo shenemar, as it says later, ubevoa lifnei hamelech amar. And when she came before the king, they said, "Im ha-sefer yashuv machashavto hara asher chishav al ha-yehudim al rosho v'salu oso v'esbanav al ha-etz." That the messages, all those messages that Haman sent out to all the nations, right, that they should rise up and they should kill all the Jews, everything returned. Yashuv machashavto ra, his whole bad plot returned upon him. Everything he calculated against the Jews came back upon his own head, and they hung him and his sons on the tree. And in Al-Hanisim shall Purim omrin, v'kilkalta asmachashavto, v'hashevosa lo gmulo berosho. Kilkalta asmachashavto means you messed up, you twisted his thought. Hashevosa means you returned it. Rashiv is to send it back. Hashevosa lo gmulo berosho. That which he, gmul, acted, like gmilus chasadah, right, acts of kindness, that which he acted upon, you returned back to his head. V'lamala, perakimol, and perakimol it says, kashya. Lama lo kasav beferush, ki nafal hagaral bechodesh. So now he's quoting from the Maharal above, after Tzion 276, the footnote 276. Now it's going to be the words of the Maharal that were over there. It's a little, we have a question. Why didn't it say, ki nafal hagaral bechodesh yud beis, hu chodesh adar? Why doesn't it say the goral fell then? It says, like, he peeled poor, he threw the goral to come to them, right? It seems it wasn't really a random throw of the dice. Well, yeah, we knew that. But that's what the pasuk's saying. Shahari lohaya klum hagorel lefi machshavas Haman. Adarabba, hagorel ne'apach al Haman. It's that he threw this goral, and that is what landed back on him. It's already from the beginning. See, he doesn't mention it here. But, you know, who suggested that they get rid of Vashti? Memuchan, that's Haman. Why? He thought there was a benefit to himself. Maybe get his daughter in or something. Okay. Boy, did that reverse itself on him. Now the queen's Jewish. It's pretty bad news, okay? I mean, depending on your point of view. Okay. Adarabba, hagorol nefach al Haman. Lekach lo ksiv beferush nafal hagorol b'chodesh beis. Because it wasn't falling randomly there, even according to, like, I don't know, the mazel of non-Jews. It's not. It was reversing onto his head from where he threw it there. V'lo ksiv shenafal hagorol b'chodesh beis, ela shebala marki, hu he peel hagorol. He caused it to fall that way. Avahanafila atzma olav haya. But when it fell on him. And in Perek Dalid, here's what the Maharal said. Ki hagoral shehipil haman, tzarech sheyihya ne'apach alav legamrei. That goral he threw had to fall upon him entirely. Ki zehu hatzolas Yisrael. This is the salvation of Klal Yisrael. U'Mordechai yodazeh. Mordechai knew it. U'mipnei ki hagzera hazos yotza b'nisan, Lekach tzarech shetehe hagzera atzma v'tiyah ne'apeches. Okay, this is a very long piece here, sorry. Alzera amalik liyos ne'erogin. It's all going to come back on them. So now they said that it should happen. he set aside Yud Gimel Adar for that time, and now they're going to be killed in Yud Gimel Adar. And hold on, Ketzel, sorry, I didn't want to focus specifically on this. That's why it fell on him exactly at the same time. Okay. And also, when he comes to ask to hang Mordechai, it already reverses. You remember Zeresh? What did Zeresh say? Imi zera ha-yehudim Mordechai, asher hachi lo sali po lefanav. If you started falling in front of Mordechai, you'll never succeed. It means that the rock has already reversed. If the rock is reversed, you are in serious trouble. That's what she understood. Okay, hang on 1 second. So let's go to the second line from the bottom here. And below in Perek Zayin, Mashahutzrach Lomar, why did it have to say Asher Heichin LeMordechai, that he prepared the tree for Mordechai? The fact that he tried to hang Mordechai is what caused Haman himself to be hanged. If he had not tried to hang Mordechai, he would not have been hung. You understand? It's not just that he had a fair punishment. This is much deeper than that. It's not just that Haman deserved what he got. Haman caused what he got. Every single thing that happened to Haman was something he himself initiated. He made it happen. Right, this is in the Shoshana Sigakol Bracha. At the end, the lot of Haman turned around to be ours. Hadavar hazeh hu yadu al anshei chachma. This is known to those who know Kabbalah. Lahalan kasav klal hadavar b'megillah hazos. The basic principle of this Megillah, ki haya Haman hachana leMordechai, shekol davar sheratza Haman lasos nepachalav. Haman was preparing everything for Mordechai. Everything he wanted to do, when it actually happened, it came to him. V'davar ze yisod haMegillah. This is the foundation of the whole Megillah Esther. Kvar amarnu, and he also says in Perek Ches, inyan haMegillah hazos. The whole idea of this Megillah, shahaya. The inyan zeh shahaya nepach al hatzorir, that the one who is the aggressor and the bully, the agitator, everything reverses on him. That's pur hama nepach lepurenu. You can see from this ki hapur nepach alav. This is a very deep thing. So, okay, it's so deep. So now what are we supposed to do? So let's go back to our other page, which is the one with the V'yesh Mekashin, okay? And find footnote number, it's on the second page of it, footnote number 248. Do we need another one? Because I can use the one that's in here. Ki ha-hatzlocha yoser krova, kasher efshar shetihyeh nehepach alov miyad. Their hatzlacha, the success of Mordechai and Esther's plan, is more near, so it will be stronger and closer and more likely to succeed, the closer in time it is to reversing upon him right away, like immediately. Ki lekach lo ratza Mordechai sheyezman ledavar zeh. He didn't want to wait, not because he was in a rush for himself or impatient, and not because that's more Mesiras Nefesh, but because the minute he hears that this Gezerah has gone out, he needs to harness the inertia, right? He needs to harness the movement of Haman's actions before they get from a plan into final form. The energy of the plan that Haman made, it's like, you ever hear these scientific ideas? What if a big meteor would be headed, chas v'shalom, toward the planet, toward Earth? So could they send out a rocket and catch it far enough away to just give it a little deflective nudge so that the energy of the meteor will take it in a different direction? You don't have to provide so much energy. You just have to deflect the energy in it. That's what Mordechai wants to do. He wants to deflect Haman's energy back on him. And the quicker he does it, the more complete the punishment will be. Number 250. Bidvarav haktzar mivor shahan hagazos hi dafka biyachas lazer Amalek. This is specific to Amalek. And here's what I underlined. Nira bir dvarav hakadosh. And we'll have to continue next time. I hate to break it in the middle. I'm sorry. Achdus Hashem hamisgale al yedei mechias Amalek. Amalek tries to bring down Hashem's kingdom, to instill sfeikus, to fight Klal Yisrael and destroy them, anything to bring down Kvod Shemayim. Even bigger honor to Hashem's name than the destruction of wickedness is when wickedness self-destructs. It's an even bigger glory to Hashem. You know why? Because it means the wickedness itself is saying, Hashem, you were right and I was wrong. That's a bigger praise of Hashem than just that Hashem could overpower the evil. Is the evil itself blowing itself up and saying, I was wrong. That's the greater honor to Hashem. I want to talk about it more because there's a lot of implications to this. But just to take home the thought that this is a different aspect of onesh, of punishment, where the punishment is actually what the evil itself generated. Yeah? So that will be our topic for next time, because it's a deep one, but it's a foundational one. That really, he's undoing himself. What was novel here was that Mordechai knew that. And that was the rush. That's marvelous, right? The rush, the quicker you can bounce it back, the more force it bounces with. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem will continue this and finish this topic maybe next time. Well, for sure finish it, but maybe even start a new forum topic. We'll have to see.
Okay. No, I have next time. It's okay.
We don't have a next time?
It's Thursday next time. Oh, we don't have Thursday. We have.
Have all day? I needed to ask you. And what about? But there's another week after.
The week, yeah.
There's
yeah.
one more week before yeah. Purim. Purim's yeah. also Thursday.
Oh my God, but so come to work, family. Do you remember last year we were studying
Thank
the
Thank you. What's your name?
She's our fellow yeah. drama head mate.
Oh, wow. So I'm very excited. Do you think the girls in the office, I still want to try and give them a check for those tickets, for those silver selling tickets. Oh, yeah, you are.
Yeah, they have already.
Because I didn't pick up the tickets ever.
Off the chair.
Yeah, she's true. She said she's really sorry she can't pick up, but Mrs. Wilmer called her down or something.
Oh, okay.
She's going to go into her stuff. Are these new from this class?
In my next life.
You could take them all.
Just take them all. Okay.
Thank you so
much. Thank you. Did you get back to me about the idea of the Kaitana? Did we confirm that? The Kaitana?
Oh, I asked her.
That was so crazy.
Like,
Yeah,
like
I just
made that.
I wait,
it was
like running
out of
time the whole time.
I mean, like making, doing
something
for a week with the kids.
Do we have to like
plan
it three times
now? No, it doesn't need a whole bunch. It's like
babysitting,
but it could be a.
No, I thought it was
babysitting. It doesn't have to be a whole bunch.
Whatever.
I called it that.